Lord, we're just so grateful to get to be in your presence tonight, oh God. Lord, because your word says wherever two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst. We're so grateful, Father, that you're here. We're so grateful, Holy Spirit, that you live within us. You dwell with us wherever we go, when we come and when we go, when we rise and when we sit down. You are with us. You are with us. You are a constant companion. You're with us in the tribulations and you're with us in the victories. And we just praise you for your presence with us tonight, oh God. Lord, we just give you glory tonight for your presence. We just thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we just glorify you tonight, oh God. We just praise you and we just worship you. And we just say thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are with us. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And we just ask you, Lord, to have your way. Have your way over the word, oh God. Lord, let your word penetrate the hearts of your people, Jesus. Lord, let it go deep into the deep places, oh God. Let it stir revelation in their hearts, oh God. Lord, that we might draw closer to you, that we might look more like Jesus with every passing breath. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, we thank you, Father. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's good to see you here tonight. Praise the Lord. It's always a joy to me to be in the house of the Lord, to be gathered with my brothers and my sisters. It's a good and it's a beautiful thing. You know, Pastor has declared this the year of change. A year, and another way to say a year of change is a year of transformation. Because that's what change is. You know, you start out as one thing, and as the process of change takes place, there's a transformation that happens, and you become something else. Hopefully something better, right? Something more like Jesus, something that looks more like Jesus, praise the Lord. This is the year of transformation. From the very beginning of salvation, the moment Christ comes into us, we begin a process of transformation where our old man, our flesh, our character, our mindset, our thoughts, even our way of thinking and understanding, our lifestyle, our way of living, our way of talking is being transformed from the old man into the new man. You know, our spirit was made new. Whoosh, shebang, done. Thank God. But this flesh, whoo, that's going to take a lot of transformation for some of us. And then a lot more for the rest of us, right? That's what's got to change. That's what has to be transformed, praise the Lord, for a singular purpose. It's not a hard guess. So that we look like Jesus. Because Jesus left the world and sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in you and me, that we might be Jesus to the world, that they might see us, that we might serve each other. And in serving and in loving each other, the world sees Jesus in us. But if we're not serving and if we're not loving each other, how's the world going to see Jesus? Because that is exactly what Jesus did from beginning to the death on the cross. That was in service. He did that for me and you. Hallelujah. So the world sees Jesus in you and me. You know, Romans 12:2, this is not a new verse. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Without the renewing of our minds, there's no transformation. This is where it has to start. If it doesn't happen here, it won't happen here. And if it's not happening here, it won't happen here. The way I live, the way I think, the way I speak, the way I do things is not going to change unless there's a change in my mind so that it reaches my heart. Because I've heard pastors say, our thoughts determine our destination. Our destination is to look like Jesus, right? Ultimate destination is to go to heaven and be with Christ. But this transformation process, the destination of this transformation is that we look like Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, praise the Lord. So if our minds aren't transformed through the making of our minds new, we miss out. We miss out. Hallelujah. We miss out on all the good things the Lord has for us. We just stay stuck in the old character, in the old habits, in the old way of living, in the old thoughts. And so all that the enemy formed in our minds, those strongholds stay. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. I'll never add up. I can't do anything right. Oh, I'll never be a preacher like Pastor Bruce. I'll never be a worshiper like Brother John. So I might as well just give up. I might as well not worship. I might as well not sing. I might as well not preach. Those are lies from the enemy. I will never preach like Pastor Bruce because I'm Janine. I'm going to preach like Janine. Like it or not, this is what God's doing here. This is all I can be. Who He's calling me to be. In Ephesians chapter 3, 17 and 21, the word says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ. Depth, width, height. Christ, we're talking about His love, how big it is. How big it is. Remember that old children's song? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide, right? Who is that fountain? Who is that song talking about? That's who this verse is talking about. Hallelujah. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. To Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What is that power at work in us? That's Holy Spirit. He is working in us for the glory and to the glory of God. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus for generations, forever and forever. So if our minds aren't transformed, we're going to miss out on how big God is. We're going to miss out how wide, how deep, how powerful, how mighty that love is. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out. I want to understand it with every fiber of our being. We're going to miss out on His powerful presence if we don't have our minds transformed. Hallelujah. This is not what I am preaching about tonight. Tonight, I want to talk to you about your portion. Say with me, my portion. My portion. This is not something we've never read before or never heard of. Oh, precious Lord. But Lord, I pray You bring revelation into our minds and our hearts tonight about our portion. Hallelujah. Because what is your portion? So a few weeks ago, I was, a sister came into the church and I began to pray for her. And just out of praying in the Spirit, I prayed, and Lord, You are her portion. You are her portion. Let her know You're her portion. And afterwards, the Lord asked me, well, what's that mean to you? My portion. Well, it means, you know, you're what I get. You're what she gets. And He said, well, why don't you investigate a little more? Why don't you come to an understanding of what that is? So I did. Psalms 119:57 says, You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Your words. Who is your portion? The Lord is your portion. What does it mean for us that the Lord is our portion? So I went back to an archaic dictionary, because this was written a long time ago. And it said, portion, a person's destiny, a person's allotment, or a person's heritage. Then it said to give a dowry for a bride. The bride price paid by the father of the groom to the bride or to the bride's father. Here's the thing. Listen to this. The Lord is your father. God is your father. And he paid the bride price to you and for you with Jesus Christ, his son. Your bride price was Jesus. So in the archaic days, the bride got this price, and it was her allotment that she could do what she wanted with. She could hold on to it. She could invest it into the building up of her house, but it was hers. That allotment is yours. That bride price, it's yours. Whoo! It gives me goosebumps. And in other versions, it said portion is translated as inheritance. So when these writers say the Lord is their portion, what they mean is that the Lord is my allotment. He is my inheritance. He is the source of my security and my hope. Woo! Because only in him do we have security and do we have hope. There is no security in this world. I watched my dad build up and build up and build up security. Security for retirement. And I watched it get stolen away over and over again. Hallelujah. When my parents went to Mexico, my dad was chafing over having lost his house. He was telling the Lord that was the last thing I had saved for Jackie, for her inheritance, for her future, for her retirement. What happened? Why did you let that happen? And you know, it took years for the Lord to answer my dad. But about 3 years later, the Lord answered him. Oh, maybe it was even five. One night, my dad was just in prayer, his normal routine. And the Lord said, do you know why I let your house be taken? My dad's like, no, but I'd sure like to. I've been waiting a long time. And the Lord said, so you'd have nowhere to run to but to me. So you couldn't turn around and run home when things got tough. How many of us do that? We want to run. I am a runner from way back. Things get tough and I just run. Not anymore. Praise the Lord. God took my running feet. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is our portion. He's our inheritance. He is our treasure. He is all things. He is everything that has been allotted to us. He is the whole package. And in reality, he is all we need in every moment, in every situation. You know, a lot of you guys know the story about our coming back to Mexico. I was pouting just a little bit about coming home. Just a smidge. Unless you ask Scott. And then he'll tell you just how much I was pouting. So we have a meeting set with Pastor Bruce. We're going to go and tell him, or we thought we would be telling him news that we were moving home. He already knew. And we get into the office and I'm pouting, you know, just not out here, but in here a whole bunch. And we sit down and we just say our hellos, our chit chats. And Pastor goes, you know, before we go any further, Janine, God wants you to know this is not a demotion. It is a promotion. And you need to stop pouting. There might have been a few other words in there. I'm like, what? And I just look at him because I'd been feeling like coming home was some kind of a demotion. Like somehow I'd upset him or I'd done something wrong. And my heart was breaking over it. I didn't want ministry to end for me. I love ministry. I didn't want my life to change. I loved my life. And the Lord said to me, it's not a demotion, but a promotion. I'm going to take you on. I'm going to take you further than what you've gone. Mexico brought you to here. I'm going to take you here. Hallelujah. In every moment, in every situation, he is all we need. And so we were telling Pastor, God has told us. Now I'm trying to not be pouty. God has told us. It's time to come back. He's bringing us home. But we have no finances for it. It's going to take money we don't have. We're not savers. We invested everything into ministry. If we had a penny left, it went into ministry, and everything before that went into ministry. I don't know how we're going to do this, but God says we're doing it, Pastor, so get ready. And Pastor said, well, let me share something with you. God has prepared us for this, and the money is here for you to pay for your rental truck to come home. I'm like, Lord, that's huge. That's huge. And so we left that meeting feeling very encouraged, and I quit pouting and began rejoicing that God had a plan and he was in it before I knew the plan was coming about. And then before we ever left Washington, you know, the government set out those COVID checks, whatever they were called. We all got COVID checks. Scott got a COVID check and I got a COVID check. So we had the money and the truck to move home. And then on the day Pastor gets there to pick us up, he was driving home with Scott. On the trip home, he told Scott, don't worry about it. Gas money came in too. So God provided everything and he had it set up and arranged before I even knew the plan. He is the source. He is your allotment. He is your inheritance. He is your portion. And he's got you covered. In every moment of every situation, he's got the answer. We just have to believe for it and to trust him for it. Hallelujah. It says in Psalms 119:57, you, O Lord, or you are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. Because he is your portion, his word is a part of your portion. Do you know why the man who wrote the Psalms was keeping his word? Because his word was his portion. His word was God's words to him. His words was God speaking to him. I will keep your words. Everything God spoke to him, he was going to keep. Because he knew the word of God was life. The word of God is life to you and me. Whether he speaks it into our ear or he speaks it into our heart or we read it out of the word of God, out of the Bible. His word is a part of your portion. And his word is alive. You know, so many people have said, I've never heard God speak. Well, read your Bible. Sorry. Read the Bible. That's God speaking to you and me. That's his word, his love letter to us. I can't read that word without him speaking to me, without hearing him speaking to me. That is him talking to us. If you haven't heard the voice of God, if you've not heard him speak to you, read your word. Hallelujah. His word is powerful. It's his voice to us filled with power. Hallelujah. But we got to change our mindset. As long as we look at that word as just a book, it'll never be the life well to us that God intends it to be. It will never be life-changing to us if we just look at it as a history book, as opposed to God speaking to us. It's so much more than a history book. It's so much more. Hallelujah. And it's alive. The word says that the word is alive and active. In Psalm 16:5, the word says, O Lord, You are my portion, my inheritance, and my cup. You maintain my lot. Four words that I found in the archaic dictionary to describe portion is right here in this verse. Portion, inheritance, cup, and my lot. The Lord is your cup. Here's your portion. Here's your allotment, your lot. Here's your inheritance. Oh. Hallelujah. He is all you need. Ha. Your portion. Oh, praise the Lord. Your portion has no end. Hallelujah. In Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 24, it says, "This I recall to my mind. Because I remember this, therefore I have hope. Through the mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him." The writer is describing his portion. God's compassions never fail. God's compassion is a part of your portion. It's a part of your inheritance. New every morning. Faithfulness. That's a part of your portion. His faithfulness. Our portion and all that encompasses never runs out. How many people do we know that was left an inheritance or won the lotto? There's a lot of stories about that. But they used it all up and then were in worse shape than they'd been in before. It's not like that with this inheritance. You can't use it all up, this portion. You can't outlive it. You can't outlast it. This portion is forever and it's faithful. Whoo, that excites me. Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't have to worry if my bank account runs out. I don't have to worry because I know who supplies it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It has no end. Your portion has no end. It can never be used up or fail or run out. Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Why? Is he the strength of my heart? That's part of my portion. He's the strength of my heart. My heart can be strengthened because he's my portion. And I can count on him. I can count on him. I can count on his faithfulness. I can count that he is my portion forever. Doesn't matter how long forever is. My portion is going to outlast it. My portion is bigger. Your portion is bigger. You know, as long as I have my portion, I will have the strength of my heart because he is my portion. You know, Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The strength of the Lord is my portion. His strength is a part of my inheritance. I can count on it. When I'm at my lowest, when I'm at my weakest, when I'm at my emptiest, I can count on his strength to fill me and to lift me up and to take me forward. Because it's his promise. It's his word. Psalms 142:5 says, "I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." The land of the living is the here and now. We have a refuge in the here and now, and it's part of our portion. It's him. The Lord is our refuge right now on this earth. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. Hallelujah. God is our portion in this lifetime. Hallelujah. Your portion is yours through faith in Jesus Christ. It is your lot. It is your inheritance. It is your portion. But we have to have faith for it. We have to believe for it. We have to have faith for the mindset. We have to have faith for what we believe to be changed through the word. My old mindset has to go. I have to understand what the word says about the here and the now. I have to understand what the word says about me and believe that above all things. That old mindset, I'm not good enough. I can't preach in front of people. I can't do women things. Not me. I don't do women things. Nope. I can't do that. All of the things that the enemy once told me I can do, I do now. And I love it. I love it. I can do women's retreats. Oh, I love women's retreats. I can do women's gatherings. Oh, I love women's gatherings. I can have girlfriends. Who knew what I was missing out on all those years of having a girlfriend in Christ, a sister in Christ who would encourage me in Him and be a friend to me in the Lord. All the things the enemy told me were impossible. I've lived and I'm living. But I had to give up that old mindset. You know, we told people we were going to Mexico. I can't even number how many people said, oh, you'll never make it. Oh, no. Nope, you're too princessy to be able to be a missionary. That's not going to work out good for you. You know what I told people? I said, take it up with Jesus. Because that's where I'm leaving it, in His hands. If He says go, I'm going. I think He's crazy? Yep, a whole lot. But I'm in. I'm going. I'm not sticking around here when He said go. There isn't anything with Him you can't do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If He's asked it of you, He will give you the strength to do it. If He has sent you, He will supply your need. He will meet you right where you need to be met. Hallelujah. But as long as we're stuck in that old man mindset, you will never be fully free to live in your portion and all that your portion entails for us today. Every promise of God, and that is debatable. You know, when I first looked up promises of God a dozen years ago, it said 2,000 and some promises of God. Well, now people are saying there's over 6,000 promises of God. I don't know what's the truth. I don't know if it's over 2,000 or over 6,000. I don't care. I want them all. Doesn't matter. I want them all. But what has to change is me, my mindset, because I can only receive them as I have faith for them. I can only receive them as I believe for them. As I step out on the word and believing the word. But if I don't have faith to step out, I'm missing a part of my portion. I'm missing a whole part of my inheritance. In James 4:8, the word says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. You know, we can be near to God, you and me. Who are we? Who am I that I should get to be near to God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Alpha and the Omega? Who am I? I'm just one chunky white chick. Who am I that I should get to be near to God? And don't be mistaken. The enemy throws that at me all the time. Who are you? And I say to him, I'm a nobody, but I'm a daughter of God, and there's no change in that. I am a daughter of God. I am chosen by God. He chose me. I don't care what lies you throw at me. He chose me. It trumps everything. I don't have the ability. I don't care. He chose me. I'll give it what I have. If it's not ability, it'll be something. Because it's my portion. He's my portion. And I'm not going to give a single piece of it to the enemy. Right? You know, when we think about portions in the world today, I teach school to my grandkids and to my children before them. And, you know, they put out every year, the health department and whatever puts out these little triangles, and it's the little food pyramid, and it tells you your portions. And we're in a time of the world where portions are becoming smaller in what they tell you you can have. But if you go to McDonald's, the portions are way bigger. Right? When McDonald's first opened, they're like, we like to call it the little kitty burger, the little plain cheeseburger. That was the burger of the day. And then they came out with the Big Mac. Because we weren't happy with this little portion. We needed more, right? So in the stores, everything comes in giant portions now. But we're told we're to have little tiny little portions. You know what can fit in the palm of your hand? I told the doctor, yeah, over my dead body, fit in the palm of my hand. More like this. Thank you very much. I don't want to be like that with the Lord. I don't want to ration myself little tiny portions. I only get dessert once a week if I'm a good girl. No. I want my dessert with the Lord every day. And I want like the really big portion. But how often are we rationing ourselves to just the little tiny portion? You know, today I sat down this morning and I worked on my study, you know, for tonight and going over it. And then I thought, okay, I'm done. I got it done. I put it away. Woo, I got it done, Lord. I can sit down and do nothing for 30 minutes. And I sat down for 5 whole minutes and I thought, oh, why am I just sitting here? I've got Friday night Bible studies coming up and I've got, the foundations class. Woo, Lord, I don't want to be sitting here. I want to get into your word. And I got right back to the table, got my tablet out and got back right in. Because I don't want to limit myself to little tiny bits of the Lord. And the way to get bigger bits of the Lord, the way to have a bigger portion in the Lord, is to get into the Word and know the Word. Because that's what's going to transform my mind. That's what's going to change me. Is His Word. Because the more I know His Word, the more I know Him. And the more I know Him, the more time I spend in His Word, the more time I spend in His presence. Woo! And the more time I spend in His presence, the more I want to be like Him. That's the only way transformation takes place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Part of your portion is to be near to the Lord, to have God near you. What an amazing thing that God loves us so much. He wants to be near us. After we had moved up here, we'd been here for a little while. My youngest grandson, he asked me, he said, Mimi, you're not ever going back to Mexico, are you? And I said, well, I'm going to make visits back there, but I'm going to stay living here. He's like, oh, good. You know, I know when I was a baby, I didn't like you very much. But I like you a whole lot now, Mimi, and I don't want you to move away ever again. You know, that's how God is with us. He likes you a whole lot, and He doesn't ever want you to be far from Him. You know, every time I leave the house, whether it's just to go to my cabin for the night, my grandson runs to me and he hugs me and he says, I will see you tomorrow, Mimi. He's counting on it. That's how the Lord feels about you. Every time you close your eyes, he's anxiously awaiting for your eyes to open so He can have time with you. Are we making time for Him? This convicted me. I teach school for, I don't know, anywhere between 3 to 5 hours a day. I cook 3 meals a day, which is another 2.5 hours to 3, depending on how, you know, how extravagant I make it. I do laundry. Where am I fitting my God time in there? Am I making time? Are you making time for God? Hey, I understand busy. I am a busy chick. You can look at my calendar and see. But we have to make time for God. He anxiously awaits us to have time with him, time in his presence, so he can talk to us, so he can love on us. We've got to make time for him because he's our portion. Hallelujah. You know, remember that old kids cartoon, the one about that cranky duck? Do you remember what that one was? The duck that had the three little duckling grand Scrooge. Who said that? Yes, Scrooge McDuck. Remember how he had that big money vault that he'd dive into and swim around? That needs to be us with the Lord. Just dive into our portion and just swim around in that portion. Just get all in it because it's ours. We don't need to limit ourselves. I mean, why eat that little tiny cheeseburger when we can have the Big Mac? Right? What's the point? I mean, this or this. It's an easy decision there. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 14 say, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. There is freedom. Freedom is your portion. It's your portion. If we are living bound, if we are living in chains, if we are living with fears, if we are living with sicknesses and diseases, he is our portion from captivity. The word says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where does Holy Spirit live? In you and me. So our portion is to walk in freedom, whatever freedom that is, physically, spiritually, mentally, financially. Our portion is freedom. We have a right to it. It's a part of our inheritance. If we have the Spirit of the Lord living in us, it is our portion to walk in freedom. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will he cease from yielding fruit. This is our portion. When we remain connected into the river, the Holy Spirit, this is our portion. We don't have to fear drought. We don't have to fear financial devastation. We don't have to fear calamity, because when we are plugged in, connected into that river of the Holy Spirit, it is our portion and he supplies to us. And we will always be living and fruitful, green, leafy, beautiful trees that bear fruit all the time. It is our portion to be fruit bearing all the time because of his Spirit living in us. It is the evidence of his Spirit living in us. It is the evidence of our relationship with him that we bear fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, there's a disconnect. We're not plugged into that river. We're not being saturated in that river of life. We're not being saturated by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When we're planted in the Holy Spirit, this should be us. And our level of maturity, or we could place the word transformation in the place of maturity, our level of transformation shows in the times of drought. Or when things get hard. That's when we see true transformation that's taken place. That's when we see maturity. Maturity is being transformed into the image of Christ. When those things don't rile us anymore. They don't ruffle our feathers. Okay, Lord, it's in your hands. I trust you. You're my portion, Lord. It's all good. It's all good. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ your portion. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that is your portion. Are you grabbing a hold of that? I want every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I want every blessing heaven has for me. I want it. I want it now, and I want to keep it, and I want to be like that tree planted in it, that I am always green, that I am in transformation. I am maturing in the Lord and in His Word and in His things, that I might reflect Christ as He is, not as I am. You know, if Christ looked like me, we might not win a lot of people for Jesus. But if we look like Jesus, we'll win a lot more people. I still have imperfections in me. Just little tiny ones. Just a few. But there is no imperfection in Christ. And so when they look at us and they see that tree that's fruitful, that's leaves are green and healthy and strong, and they see calamity come, and there we are still strong and healthy and bearing fruit. Do you know who they're going to see? They're going to see Jesus. And that's what the world needs to see, because they're dry and they're dying. They're not bearing fruit. We have to be Jesus to the world right now. They have to see Him in us, in the way we live, in the way we talk, in the way we love, in the way we serve. If they're not seeing those things, they're not coming to Jesus. Hallelujah. Every spiritual blessing is a part of my portion. Now, if you look in verse 11, it says, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, which could also be portion. We have obtained a portion, an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Woo. Hallelujah. Predestined according to His purpose. I have an inheritance in Him. I have been predestined in Him. And I have the inheritance to back it up. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Portion. Right there. The authority of Christ. He's passing His authority. They have seen His authority. They have watched Him walk in His authority. They have watched Him do the things that He did, the healing, the setting people free. And now He's telling them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now I want you and 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 you to go out in my name and in my authority and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is your portion to live and walk in His authority. And yet we let the enemy beat us up day after day. And he's got no authority over you. He's got no power over you if you don't give it to Him. You have authority. It's part of your portion. It's in your portion package. It's in your inheritance package to be a child of God who walks in the authority of Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. You could replace conformed with transformed. To be transformed to the image of His Son. It's in our inheritance. that we be transformed into the image of his son. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You are called and you are chosen and you have been separated out of the world, called unto the Father to live in the portion he has for you, which is everything. It's a portion that goes on and on and on from generation to generation to generation. You can't use it up. You can't overuse it. You can't run out of it. He is our portion. And when we pray that, he is our portion. He is my portion. Lord, you are my portion. I'm saying, Lord, you're my everything. And you got everything, and you are everything, and I stand in that hope. In faith, I have received it, that you are my portion. Oh. And if you have received your portion, if you are living in Christ Jesus, then your portion is there. And you just have to start walking in it. You just have to start using it. You know, we go to the bank and we open a bank account and we get these lovely little credit cards. Doesn't do me a whit of good unless I use it. I can carry it in my pocket all I want, but it don't get me anything unless I take it out and put it in the little machine. We have to take out our portion. We have to draw on what is our portion. We have to draw on it. We have to draw on it for strength. We have to draw on it for freedom. We have to draw on it for transformation. We have to draw on it for faith. We have to draw on it. Because if we're not drawing on our portion, it's sitting unused. Hallelujah. And the Lord doesn't want it to be unused. I'm going to read just one more verse, just one. Psalms 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, we could take shepherd out and we could say, the Lord is my portion. I shall not want. Because he's my portion. I will not be in want. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise your name. The Lord is your portion tonight. Oh, he is your portion. He has you. There is nothing that you face that he doesn't have you in, that he doesn't protect you, that he doesn't keep you, that he doesn't hold you, that he doesn't supply, that he doesn't meet you, because it's what he does. The Lord is your portion. And as I began to study this out, it just got me so excited. I've known this verse, you know, the Lord is my portion. I've known that. I've known that for so long. I don't even know when I learned it. But that day that I prayed it over my sister, there was a connection. There was a spark of something that took place in me as the Lord began to speak to me. What's that mean to you? I am your portion. I had to think about it. I had to study it out. Ooh,
now you, Lord, now I know. Now I know, Lord, you are my portion, and I mean it with my whole heart.
I mean it with everything in me. You are my portion. You are my inheritance. You are my lot. You are my dowry. You are my bride price. Oh, Lord, you are everything to me. Will you stand with me to your feet tonight? Oh, hallelujah. I hope this stirred your heart. I hope this stirred the deep places in you. That you would see your portion differently. That your portion would become a reality to you like never before. That is my prayer for you. That you would have an understanding of what it means that the Lord is your portion. He is your inheritance. He is your lot. He is your bride price. He's your dowry. He's your security. Hallelujah. Because those are powerful things. Oh, I pray that your mind be transformed in this area tonight. Be transformed in this area, that you would have a deeper understanding of what He is your portion means. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight, for watching us. We appreciate you. We love you. You're always welcome here, but we're delighted to have you watching us from your home. I just ask you right now, right in your homes, to just take a few minutes and meditate on this, to talk to the Lord about this, to ask Him to stir this in you. Hallelujah, because it became powerful in me. I have no words to describe the power it became in my heart. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Oh, precious Father, Lord, we just ask you to stir this into your people, oh God. Lord, that we would come to greater understanding, Father, of what it means that you are our portion, oh God. Lord, that we would trust you in greater measure, Father. Lord, that we would not worry over the things that come because you're our portion. Lord, that we would be that tree, whether it's in drought or in a rainy season or it's in the torment season. Lord, whatever the season is, that we would be that tree. Transformed into your likeness. Lord, there is such peace that comes from understanding you are my portion. Oh, precious Jesus, I thank you for that. Oh, I thank you for that, Lord, that you are my portion and the peace that comes with that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's anyone here tonight that would like prayer, please feel free to come down for prayer. It's one of my greatest joys to pray with people.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.